Okay, I'll set the scene. You're walking up the steep steps of a Victorian on one of those typical foggy evenings in San Francisco, the kind that makes you grateful that you brought your jacket. And as you step inside from this misty street into an old Victorian house, you hear the floors creak, but that's just a part of the charm. As you take your shoes off and make your way into the house, you hear folks chatting and dishes clinking in the kitchen. Some people you recognize. San Francisco is a small town after all. And some faces are new. The table is set and perfect for tonight's gathering. A quintessential SF dinner party.
Welcome to the Seven Hills Supper Club. I'm your co-host, Prescott.
And I'm your co-host, Ishita. Come take a seat.
So that's the concept. Do you want to share what inspired us to make this series?
I'd say a big inspiration for this podcast is, you know, I've lived in San Francisco for 9 years, and there have been so many conversations over dinner that I've had with friends where it feels like San Francisco is a character sitting at the dinner table as well. Like, we talk about, we have so many opinions about San Francisco. There's drama, there's people have all types of relationships with the city. And through these conversations, I feel like I've gotten to know the character of San Francisco so well. And I have so much admiration, and I feel like there's a lot of beauty in the city. But I think you have to take the time to really get to know the city well to see all of the beauty that exists. And I'm still on that journey myself. But we wanted to record this podcast so we could bring you along on some of these conversations that we've had over the years that have made us really excited and hopeful and big believers in the city of San Francisco as well as its future.
We called it the Supper Club, or you came up with the name of the Supper Club, which I love, because these conversations happen over a dinner table. And, you know, we're not a Wikipedia article about San Francisco. We're not a news article about San Francisco. We're conversations, and we want people that are listening to this to feel as if they're just sitting at our table, listening in, maybe participating.
Yeah, you've just swung by to our cozy little Victorian home. I can set the scene a bit more. We're in our living room. There are usually a couple of multicultural dishes on the table. Someone has brought japchae before. We've made
do a lot of mackerel from Nigeria market.
Mackerel from Nigeria.
Some classics, some roasted chicken. Sometimes it's a, you know, what do they call them? Potlucks. And we're just sitting down with people. Some will be drinking, some will be having some non-alcoholic stuff. And whether we're sitting and talking with, you know, a politician here in the city or a restaurant owner or an artist or just some of our friends, it's just people sitting down and having a conversation around our dinner table.
We also are going to peel back the layers of San Francisco. And what I mean by that is, well, something that maybe folks don't even know is San Francisco is really like a shining beacon of parks. For example, Golden Gate Park is actually architected by the same person who created Central Park. And I feel like Central Park has celebrity status, whereas Golden Gate Park is more of a hidden gem. But I mean, I'm biased, but having visited and spent time in both, I feel like Golden Gate Park has a lot of
Golden Gate Park wins.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much to do and it's so special. So there's that. There's like big flagship parks, but also there's some interesting facts. Like, there was a really intentional effort to make sure that anyone in San Francisco was within a 10-minute walk of a park or a community green space. And the superheroes behind this well-executed plan is Parks and Rec. It's actually a very, it's like an incredible organization. And there's also a lot of work and thoughtfulness that goes into the maintenance of like beloved SF parks today.
I was in an Uber the other day with somebody who was driving who works at Parks and Rec. I think I pointed out the fact that he had the sun bum sunscreen mascot as a toy on his dashboard. And I said, you must wear a lot of sunscreen to have gotten that. And he goes, yeah, I'm actually a gardener. And it turns out this man is one of the two people responsible for Alamo Square Park, which is a lush green space that has like tons of different botanical environments, functional space for pets and people, and it has a whole colony of San Francisco's parrot population. And so this gardener, I should really say botanical artist, was describing like a multi-year review process for selecting how they're going to transform different environments of the parks over time. And it's really quite fascinating, and a side of the city you just don't hear much about. I feel like so much of the conversation about the San Francisco Bay Area is told through the lens of sensationalist news. Oh my gosh, the crime, the retail pulling out, the downtown apocalypse. And there's a lot of truth to all of this stuff, right? But if you're in certain circles of Twitter, you can see real people that live in San Francisco talking about what it's really like to be here. But for the most part, I think a lot of folks will never see that unless they actually come and hang out around a dinner table and meet people that are actually here and have these conversations. And that's what we want to bring to this podcast.
One episode I'm also really excited to do is interviewing our friends who are parents in San Francisco. You know, we don't have children ourselves, but we know quite a few folks who are raising kids in San Francisco and really love it. But I'm also curious to dig into the challenges that come along with that, what makes it special. And the people we know who are raising their kids in San Francisco often have this attitude of, I can't imagine doing this anywhere else.
There's also so much history in San Francisco that, at least I think in my generation, I didn't know until I was part of what I think are, I don't know, conversations people don't just stumble into. There's a whole history of how San Francisco local politics was sort of a pathway to national politics under Willie Brown. And there's just tons of stories and branches you can go into with fascinating characters and storylines that, again, are just kind of, I don't know, they're not lost to time, but where else do you hear these stories?
Mm-hmm. I'm also excited to dig deeper into the dining scene. And saying it like that almost sounds a little too reductionist. I'm not talking about highlighting where you should eat dinner, but instead really diving into the stories that make the city unique. For example, the only female chef in the U.S. with 3 Michelin stars is Dominic Crenn. But behind every big name chef is this entire team. And over my 10 years in SF, I've begun to paint a picture of their movements. So who goes from where to where? What influences do they take? And some of the best restaurants in SF have birthed alumni mafias whose fingerprints you can see all over the world. There are over 4,400 restaurants in the city. That means that even if you ate at a new spot, every meal of every day you were in San Francisco, you wouldn't get through all of them, given the frequent turnover of the dining scene. Also, who doesn't love some juicy controversy? We're going to be looking into what the battle is like between the city and the restaurant owners over parklets, and how some iconic, famous SF institutions, probably places you love and like to visit yourself, have fought to keep competitors out of their immediate neighborhoods by making it harder to get established.
This is not the kind of stuff you hear about just walking into a restaurant, but there's so much cool stuff behind the scenes that will come out when we bring him over and have him on the podcast.
Another thing I'm interested to dive into is the unique architecture of San Francisco. We went on a walking tour a while back, and it was interesting to hear how different periods of history had an impact on the types of Victorians that were being built. And we're going to do episode deep dives on iconic buildings in San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco is one of America's great walking cities. Like Chicago, New York, a handful of places here just have a beautiful and unique look and feel. And San Francisco just, it has something that sets it apart from so many places in the U.S. that can just feel monotonous, right? Of course, SF has strip malls and parking lots, but so much of the city is a strikingly beautiful physical environment that's just perfect for exploring on foot. And that's why people come here and drive around on tour buses and love walking around the city. And what's interesting about that is not only that it makes it a beautiful place to visit and be, but there are ideas about San Francisco and there are ideas about how cities can be organized that I think San Francisco is largely exporting to other cities. So the Slow Streets movement by no means, you know, was just an SF thing. But I think the debates and the votes that the slow streets have gone to, where people were shutting down streets to traffic and making them places where people could walk around. That's an interesting topic that I think really helped to spark conversations in other American cities. One more area we need to explore is the unique communities and the movements that start here in San Francisco but end up being like a bigger cultural phenomenon. Everyone thinks of certain places here, like Haight-Ashbury, for example, is associated with the social movements from the 60s and, you know, our neighbor Berkeley obviously brought the free speech movement, but there are things happening now that I think are worth exploring too. SF is the epicenter of tech, and obviously the tech bro is sort of a cultural icon that everyone has an image of in their heads. But that caricature kind of misses a lot of interesting subcultures that I think the tech world and the tech community has brought. San Francisco has become sort of a center for biohackers, people obsessed with longevity, you know, the no alcohol or low alcohol lifestyle movement. And like, I've seen billboards jokingly referring to microdosing on the 101. People think of LA as the epicenter of funky health movements, but we're going to dive into some of the most interesting people in SF at the forefront of these things too.
Yeah, and a little bit about us. So we both work in tech, but it's interesting. When you were chatting about the tech piece, I was sitting here thinking that I almost feel like that's the least interesting part about San Francisco. I think it's often the headliner. And, you know, I've been here almost a decade, have worked in tech the entire time. But the things I find beautiful about the city have almost nothing to do with that. I mean, I think there's an energy and a type of conversation that happens because a lot of folks work in tech, and along with that comes this ambitiousness and
way of looking at the world.
Yeah, a way of looking at the world. But a lot of what I want to focus on is what makes San Francisco unexpectedly beautiful and delightful and unique. So to get our listeners better acquainted with us, I'll kick it off. Tell me about your first memory of coming to San Francisco and what you thought about the city.
So it's not quite my memory. I have a photo on my parents' refrigerator of, I think, me and my dad standing in front of one of those ferries that take you between San Francisco and other parts of... So as a kid, we went up to visit as tourists. But my first real memory was when I was in college. So I went to college down south of San Francisco in a town called Santa Cruz. And a friend and I had a photo project we were doing, I think for the student newspaper. So we took a bus to San Jose, took a train from San Jose up to San Francisco, had our bikes with us, stayed in a hostel, and just biked all over the city and were taking photos. And it was a fun experience because it was, I don't know, it was, you know, a new adult at the time, kind of going off and exploring a new city. And it really felt so urban to me, right? I had grown up largely in the suburbs. Santa Cruz is a bit of a sleepy college town. And so San Francisco was this big city with, you know, it was grungy and grimy, and there were beautiful areas and rough areas. And it was a lot of fun. And also the hills. I mean, we were biking everywhere. It was a very intense trip. I loved it. One other interesting thing about that trip, it was right around the time that the Arab Spring was going on. And I think this was just around when the Egyptian leader was deposed. So there was a massive demonstration of young Egyptians or Arabs in front of City Hall, which, if you have never seen San Francisco City Hall, like, looks as if it could be the capital of a nation. It's a beautiful building. And that was fascinating, just to see that and to feel like, okay, this is a city where there's like things happening, like, you know, where people actually go and do demonstrations. It was exciting. That was really my first kind of real memory of San Francisco. And then I moved away, and then it was years before I came back here. How about you? What was your first image of San Francisco or memory coming here?
Yeah, I have a couple of partial memories and then, like you, a more vivid one. Definitely my first like fragment of a memory of San Francisco is so I lived in the South Bay. And so I would come to San Francisco occasionally with my parents, and we always went to the touristy parts, like you mentioned, like Union Square. I remember seeing the large Christmas tree in the holidays. So that's one memory fragment. And then I remember a couple of years later coming for the Stern Grove Festival and, you know, driving in the sunset and being shocked that this was San Francisco. Like, my dad had told me we were going to San Francisco, and I remember just thinking, like, wait, is this the same city that we go to when we go to Union Square?
So yeah, because the Sunset District, it looks completely different.
Yeah. So I think that was the first time my mind was expanding its understanding of the city. And then I would say the first real vivid memory is in college. So I went to Berkeley, and we would often take the BART to San Francisco for an evening out. So usually we'd be in the Mission, because that's where the BART drops you off. We'd go get drinks at, I think, the Casanova Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Eat burritos and then drunkenly take the BART back home to Berkeley. And so, yeah, I think those three tidbits informed my first view of San Francisco. What's interesting is growing up in the Bay Area and even being at Berkeley, I don't think I ever remembered wanting to live in San Francisco. I felt neutral. I didn't have a negative view, but what I wanted more than anything at that time when I was in college is I wanted to go to New York City. That is the city that my heart was set on. So yeah, it's funny that now, 10 years out, I am so in love with San Francisco. And while I love visiting New York, I can't imagine living there anymore. But yeah, I feel like San Francisco is not properly marketed or advertised, which, I mean, sounds silly to say because obviously it's a major city, but it just speaks to how many mixed feelings exist about this city, even for folks who live within 30, 50 miles of it, who have spent their entire childhoods growing up just like in an adjacent county. There's just a lot of, mixed feelings, I'd say.
And I don't want to, you know, we're not just going to be an advertisement to move to San Francisco. When I first moved back here, back to the US, and moved to San Francisco in 2018, like, yeah, I had a really rough experience. I'm sure we'll get to it in some episodes, but I was in a really rough part of SoMa, and I kind of became one of those people that love to hate on San Francisco. When I moved here, I wanted to live downtown in that part of the city because I wanted the immediacy of the city. I wanted to be like surrounded by big buildings and have stuff open 24 hours and, you know, walk outside and have three different places to get coffee and meet people and whatnot. And there's a lot of that throughout the city to differing degrees, but there's just so many different sides of San Francisco. And I think a lot of us just have one image of the city, right? And so we're going to explore all of them.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have someone on the guest who I'd say is a very passionate evangelist of SoMa. So I think there's people who love every neighborhood. And after spending time with her, I've also seen SoMa through
new lens.
New lens. But I think your point also gets at who is this podcast for? And, you know, it might be for people who are curious about San Francisco, outside of San Francisco. But I actually think, for me, it's mostly for fellow San Franciscans who want to connect with San Francisco more deeply. The sort of folks who would be in real life sitting around our dinner table talking about all the different parts of the city.
Anyway, so there's tons of places, things, people to talk about, and there's so many hidden sides of San Francisco that even if you've been here for 20 years, you don't know the real story behind, and that's what we want to uncover. When we brought up with our friends that we're doing these conversations around the dinner table and recording them, we had a lot of people jump in with interesting questions that we hadn't thought about before, like, what's it like to live in the Presidio? If you have questions or people you think we should be talking to, shoot us an email at sevenhillssupperclub@gmail.com. And in the show notes on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, you can find us on socials and send us questions or ideas as well.
There's a lot of conversations to have, and we're going to be having them at our dinner table with you as one of our guests.